Tonight on the Big Footy Blues podcast, we review the game against Richmond, we preview the game against Sydney, and there's no objectifying of anyone anywhere on this podcast. All that and more coming right up.
Robinson, brilliant. Yaron's away, one bounce, one down from behind, terrific. It was Loston, ball went inside the forward 50. Garlick under the loose ball, and he's hit the post.
Continue their centre square dominance, and Robinson the third man.
He can't do that.
And he's...
That's a non-ruck for not knowing the rules. You can't knock the ball on the full from a ruck contest through the goals.
Up to Gibbs, who can kick it a long way. This one, though, the angled approach. And Betts! Not much to stretch. But what there was stretching, and he's taken the mark. But huge kick again. Many of them in the second half. Lee Betts runs in. Kick is on the way. Straight over the goal umpire's hand. He's got three.
Under on top just at the minute. Waite turning his man. Then down the line, Bell doesn't take the mark. Betts will be dangerous. He'll be really dangerous here. He'll put them further. No, he won't. May have been touch going forward. Now Robinson, courageous. Well, 3 minutes ago, he made a monumental error. And here he is with all the heart that he's got to throw himself in front of the pack and take a really gutsy contested mark, the lead. They're in front, the Blue Boys.
And Tuck intercepted it though. Waite comes again. Waite, look away, hand pass to Judd. This would be fitting. This would be fitting. The man who brought them back. Puts the icing on the cake. It's not done yet, but it's looking terrific for those this afternoon. Resulted in goals, but Waite, if he's good enough, can still kick it. Kick is on the way, and it's beautiful. It's sweet. Oh, he's got four.
What bouncing ball. Garlick might be in here now. Can he cut the angle? Hurley, kick by Garlick. Digan, yes! And running back. Well, the guy that might have been captain of the club, we're told, has never kicked four goals in a match until now. They can't afford a turnover here to fall forward. Henderson, what a mark! That was Nick Riewoldt-like, and Jonathan Brown gets him, and taking him was Garland. And you can put down the glasses. It's an amigo. It's an amigo that'll finish it off. Kick it, Jeffrey. He does. Carlton are on their way to Sydney. Yes, it's the Blues, and Mickey Malthouse is going to create a bit of coaching history here today.
Yes, and there we go. The results from the weekend. Welcome to the Big Footy Blues podcast. I am, of course, the Wookiee, and with me are a bunch of people who you will all be familiar with by now. Say g'day to Mrs. Eddie Betts.
Hello.
And also Blue Gal.
Hi, guys.
And the old Duck Navies.
50 metres.
and Happy Dude.
Yeah, I couldn't think of anything to say.
I'll tell you who could.
Hello, will suffice.
Hi.
Apparently Mike Fitzpatrick sat next to Andrew Demetrio on the weekend, and Andrew Demetrio says that when the 350 metre penalties were paid, Mr. Fitzpatrick temporarily forgot about the independence of the commission. So, good to see he's wearing his heart on his sleeve at matches there. Guys, it was obviously a very big week in football. What were your highlights from the game in particular? Anyone?
Lady first. Happy dude? Sorry, mate. Sorry.
Yeah, besides that one game, I'd pretty bad weekend as far as all other sport is concerned. Four teams I follow and only one could come up, so I'm pretty happy just to talk about that one win that Steel Garlic did at the end, rocking up with all the Richmond supporters around, especially having to deal with them early on when they were so feral, and then seeing, I've never seen so many people cry at a football game in my life. It was great.
Yep. And ODN, what do you got, Matt?
Well, 95,000 people at the G. Finals time. It hasn't been done for decades, since about 1972, I believe. And Chris Judd inspiring the side on one leg in the third quarter. And yeah, and just the crowd going off when he kicked that goal on the last. That was there's a lot of people. All the neutrals are singing his praises this week. It's good to see.
Yep. And Blue Gal, what were your highlights?
I guess the same as what everybody's just mentioned. Juddy, obviously, entered Judd in the third quarter. I was just as happy as everybody else. But Jeff's goal, Kendo's mark, I thought was absolutely brilliant and brave, as always. So, yeah, but just the crowd. I don't think I've experienced that in my 25 years of going to the footy. Even the grand finals that I've been to, it was just electric. So, and a great win, obviously.
Yep. Mrs. Eddie Betts, did we do you?
I was one of those people crying at the G. I couldn't help myself. As soon as Garlic kicked that goal, I burst into tears. It was such an emotional rollercoaster that game. But I think Robinson redeeming himself as well was huge for me because he'd made such a monumental error and I thought we were done, and then he fixed himself up and it was all good again.
Good
it was
call.
Huge.
Great call.
I think my highlight is kind of obligated after I've torched the poor bastard all year. And
I thought you were going to bring this up.
He still didn't take a mark.
Speak up because the sound has to travel a long way.
Robbie Warnock kicked the first goal of the game and rucked pretty damn well, so get some credit for that, son. Nick Dygan's four goals out of nowhere. I mean, there were so many to choose from. But for me, it was watching I have watched that last quarter or the second half hundreds of times probably since the end of the game on Sunday. But for me, just watching the crowd get ready as Garland is running towards the goal, and you can see them get ready to jump. And then when he finally kicks a goal, they're just everywhere. It was hilarious.
Yeah, in the section I was in, as soon as he grabbed the ball and ran, because we were sort of behind him off, on the wing towards the other end, side, we saw the space and everyone jumped up then and was cheering. And then as he entered the goal square, everyone went silent for a second and stopped jumping to wait for him to kick it.
Yeah, it was just one of the funniest things you've seen. But not only that, just the way the crowd was going up, like when... Betts took a shot for goal and it didn't quite make the distance. It was marked on the line. You hear the crowd go up and then you hear the whole crowd go, "Aww." And then when I think Bell did the same thing, it was like, "Aww."
Yeah, it was like, it turned out funny as well because I actually happened to be sitting next to Estelle One and her friend, family.
So that was all pretty freaking hilarious.
Yeah, I probably high-fived her like when Garlett was running in.
The elimination final on my YouTube account has, because I put the entire second half on, has been watched more than 1,000 times.
Whoa.
Since very weak to get ratings like that.
Since Sunday afternoon, which is pretty damn good, actually. No really big news out of Carlton this week. We got a bit of a mention on AFL 360 last night for the lockout training session that they got a bit of a peep through, and Malthouse went a bit nuts about that. Nothing really major coming out of the Blues this week. Betts' contract still isn't signed. Every man and his dog apparently wants us to get Daisy Thomas, so, And woe betide you if you get on the forum and say that you shouldn't get him, because...
I don't know, it's a bit of a mixture of...
People don't like that.
Well, that depends, because I'm for getting him, but a lot of people I find aren't.
Well, I'm against it. I don't want him. He can stay at Collingwood.
Why's that?
I just don't think I don't think he's going to add more to the team than we've already got. I think
We have to outbid Collingwood, don't we? So we would have to offer him a substantial amount of coin. And we have some holes in our side, but it's not his type of player that we're missing as such. We can do with other quality midfielders, but more, I'd say we need sort of skillful inside midfielders more than what Daisy brings. I think we have those runners. Mm. And, so I don't know. I mean, you want to increase your quality, but not if he's going to be one of the highest paid players at the club.
personally, I think if we're not chasing key position players this year, then, you know, we may as well give up on chasing finals again. But, because that's what we're missing. We're short at least one guy who can either play both ends of the field as a third tall, or we're missing a centre-half forward. It comes down to that. That's what we've been missing. We're too short. And we're lucky that this weekend we're not going to be found out by a swarm of Swans talls, because Goods isn't playing. And it's going to be wet weather, apparently. So,
Possible showers. I think they're just hedging their bets. I don't think it's going to be anything like, was it round 14 when it was a deluge?
Hope buckets down like the apocalypse is upon us.
We owe them for last time.
But,
definitely.
Anyway.
I wanted to give a shout out to Brock McLean. He was probably the unsung hero from last weekend.
I love the fact that he turned around and said, "Oh, I'm not right to play," because it just goes to show that Brock McLean doesn't necessarily have to be on the field to beat Richmond.
This is the third final series we've been involved with since McLean came to the club, and he's still yet to play a finals game for us. So that was a really big call for him, and he won't be this week either. So
I'd never noticed that, to be honest.
Well,
do you think he could be a late in, though?
He's an emergency, so he could be. But I doubt it.
Well, if he's ruled out through injury, why is he an emergency? He must be close.
But
Mick, close.
I think they're giving him time.
Yeah.
The emergencies are actually pretty well named. I've said this in the forum, but I'm pretty happy with the way the whole team's named.
Yeah.
Because the emergencies are pretty well weighted in order. Like, if Cruiser doesn't come up, then Casbolt will come in. I mean, that's a given. If McLean's fit, then he'll obviously come in, and Ellard pretty much covers everything else. It's a good mix, and, you know, the guys that are in the team deserve to be there. I mean, we won, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
And we won well in the end.
A 52-point turnaround from early in the third quarter, so I wasn't far off with my 58-point.
I know.
You just got to pick from what moment it was 58 points.
You know what annoys me is all year long I've been tipping 21-point wins.
And you picked 80 last week.
And twice this year I've tipped 80 points, and we've just got over the line. Anyway, the game on the weekend, guys. Carlton, 18-8-116, defeated Richmond 14-12-96 at the MCG in front of 94,690 people. For Carlton, the goals were kicked by Waite, who kicked 4, Dygan kicked 4, Betts 3, Garlett 2, Robinson 2, Warnock Scotland and Judd 1 apiece. For the best for Carlton were Judd, Murphy, Curnow, Dygan, Betts, Waite and Gibbs. And no confirmed injuries for Carlton at that time, although evidently there are rumours that Cruiser had some operations on his toe and was kicking with his wrong foot yesterday, as well, and McLean might still be injured. I know Happy Dude would have been at the game. Mrs. Eddie Betts was at the game. Bluegill, you were probably at the game?
Of course.
Excellent. So we'll hear from you three first, and then the guys that had to watch it on TV will comment later. So ladies first, Bluegill.
I guess like last week, even when we were 5 goals down, I didn't think we were out of the game. They were 5 goals up from gifted free kicks from, I guess, some of our silly mistakes and also the umpires. But every time we went forward again, we scored, which was really good. I think we just needed to tighten up. And once we did that, we were really hard to beat. So I think Richmond kind of were a bit... I'm stunned after the third quarter, and in the end it was good. So, yeah, that's probably... I mean, Gibbs in the midfield was also good. I thought Betts was really good. I thought his work up the ground. And Wadey, obviously. And I guess just kicking straight, that was another good thing that's been different from the last few weeks. So, that's probably it from me.
Okay, and what about you, Mrs. Eddie Betts?
Funnily enough, I was more confident at halftime than I was before the game. I just felt like something was going to change. The tide was turning. I thought Richmond was going to start to tire because they did sort of run over us in the first half. But I think we're much fitter and we were able to run the game out better. At the time, I was fuming over those stupid 50-metre penalties. I know they were there, but they were really soft. And I always feel like if you're going to pay them, you've got to pay them both ways and be consistent. And the umpiring was really, really inconsistent in that first half. But I'm kind of glad that they were paid against us and we won anyway, because we don't need the help. We don't need gifted goals to win a game. I think we won it from the clearances. I mean, obviously, Juddy, what a man. Like, there's nothing he can't do. He was on one leg. There was one point where he fell over and he physically had to push himself to get back up, and he could still do it. And I think if we didn't have him out there, then we wouldn't have won. But, yay, it was a good game in the end.
Yep. And Happy Dude, you're prepared with stats and things, apparently.
I was going to be, but...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've got stats for this week's game, but I want to talk about the Richmond game first.
Right. ODN, what have you got?
Oh.
go on, Happy Dude.
Yeah. I was actually really looking forward to it all week last week, feeling really confident. Came out to Melbourne on the Saturday, went off and watched my other team play in their final on the Saturday, and really crushing defeat. So I was not confident at all on Sunday morning after having to go through the torture of being confident and then losing by 80 points the day before. Got to the game, saw a few Richmond supporters around, being feral Richmond supporters like they were, drinking before the game had even started and slurring their words. I thought, oh, here we go. Got to half time, difference was about 26 points, which is about 6 kicks in front of goal and 350 metres. I thought, as soon as these green friggin' maggots, green nasty people, stop giving them the game on the platter, that we'll be right back in this. We just have to tidy up a few things. And I turned around to the guy behind me and said, as soon as we start to come back on them, it'll kick in mentally like it does every time we play them now. They get a lead, we start to come back, they panic a little and rush their decision making, and that's exactly what happened.
Okay. ODN, what about you, Matt?
Yeah, one of the key stats from the game that I hadn't realised, I think Damien Hardwick had brought it up, Richmond, I think they were ranked number one in preventing scores from stoppages this year. And they'd only given up 30 goals all year from stoppages, and Carlton kicked 11 from stoppages in the one game. That's an incredible stat. So, we beat them where they are usually the strongest. Obviously in the ruck, hits taps to advantage 20-10, so we had double the amounts of taps to advantage, and that really showed. And not just from Warnock, Cruiser was also pretty good in that regard as well. Jamison's again, is that third time this year that Riewoldt's failed to kick a goal on Jamison? I'm
got to
sure.
be close.
Oh, yeah, he just owns them, and the fact that they probably conceded that before the match by making Riewoldt a foil for Vickery and Edwards and sacrificing his own game, because they probably didn't think he was going to kick many on Jamison anyway. And so their plan was to use Riewoldt to get Jamison out of our defensive 50 as much as possible. Them conceding that before the game had even started, and Riewoldt being a two-time Coleman winner, that was very strange tactics for mine. Conker going off really hurt Richmond, hurt their run, but then Robinson and Cruiser went down in the first quarter too, and I'm like, oh no, this is the worst possible thing. But for them to come back and play out the match as they did, and Cruiser still to be in doubt now, shows what he must have, how hard it must have been to stay on and keep fighting on like he did. So that showed a lot of heart. Dygan coming in, kicking his 4 goals. Remember, before he's come in before and kicked 3 goals going forward as a bit of a surprise tactic, and then we tried him there the following week and it bombed out spectacularly. So I'm not sure whether that's something we will do this week. Kerno on Cochin was really good. He's at least squaring every contest he goes into these days, so... What I was most impressed with was we when we generally get behind and we come back, we throw caution to the wind and we start playing through the corridor more often, and it's a high risk, high reward sort of situation. Whereas if we turn it over, we're going to get blown out of the water. But this time we came back and we still stuck to the boundary and stuck to our game plan, and that's pretty much the first time I've seen us actually stick. Kept going around the outside, but be fast enough to move it to beat Richmond. So it just showed how Richmond ran out of legs and how much space they gave us, that we didn't have to use the corridor all that much just to get back in the game. So that was the going forward in the future. That's something that really pleases me. So that's pretty much it. Except Richmond's best player was obviously umpire Nichols, and well done to him.
And Wookie, how did you see the game?
How did I see the game? I thought it was basically we were always in it with a shot. Statistically, we weren't that far off the pace in the first half. They just used the ball better. But in the second half, once we kicked that first goal, you could feel the game turn just watching it. You could sense it, and reading it off the main board, I said this to ODN last night, reading the main board's game day thread, everyone could feel the turn. It was obvious that we were going to run off with it, and from then on I was absolutely confident that we were going to take it, even after Maric kicked the goal in the final quarter. I just never felt that the momentum turned back in their favour in the last quarter. I thought Gibbs played a superb game. 27 possessions, 17 of them contested. I thought he was absolutely outstanding in his
12 clearances. That's massive.
Yeah, for a guy that's supposedly soft, I thought he was pretty good.
He just has to play in the midfield. How every time he plays in the midfield, he stars. I know he's missed a fix it, but just bloody leave him there. It's really frustrating.
I want to draw attention to the fact that the likes of Judd and Murphy and Cochin all had similar disposals and contests and possession ratios and stuff like that, but Murphy was nearly 77% efficiency, Judd 64, which is pretty normal for him playing inside as he does, and Cochin was only 53. So I mean, I just don't understand why Cochin keeps getting these plaudits when he butchers the ball so much.
That's surprising.
He always does that, though, Cochin. When the pressure's on him, so when he's not playing against weaker opposition, say GWS and Gold Coast, he does tend to turn it over a fair bit. And that's why when he's out of the team, I think that it doesn't hurt them as much as they would think before the game, because it helps when you don't have someone turning over the ball every 5 minutes.
Well, I mean, he does go in and lead by example, and he will extract the ball, and he's tough in that regard. So he does inspire them. So he's better with him there. But I mean, it was one kick. I'm trying to remember if it was the third or fourth quarter, where he chipped a little 30-meter pass, and there was nobody there but a Carlton player. It's not even though he was trying to roost it away to get it away from the area. It was just absolutely ridiculous clanger. I can't even begin to understand what he was doing, but he does tend to do that. He hacks the ball, and yet Robinson gets bloody taken to task for hacking the ball out of there. At least he's kicking it 50-60 metres every time he does it.
Yeah, Mitch probably looks a little bit more unco when he does it, though.
Yeah, well, okay.
Actually, I thought it was pretty funny that one of his hacks landed straight in Waite's arms in the
yeah.
in the last quarter. That was
What was Gibbs' efficiency, ODN?
It was pretty low. It was less than 50%.
Really?
So you wrapped them up, and he had a 48% disposal efficiency. But out of his 27 disposals, I've got here on the AFL site, it was 18 contested. So he was really just hacking them. He was getting the hands of the ball first with Judd, the second receiver. And that shows with the 12 clearances and 8 stoppages that he won and 4 centre clearances and stuff. He was very, very inside on Sunday. Yeah.
I might have to take back the praise I gave Warnock. His disposal efficiency was 16%.
And he still didn't take it, Mark.
At least he tried.
He got a goal,
Say he just stands there like a totem pole or whatever you call him.
He's like a stony
pole. At least
this
time he freaking moved.
Oh, yes. Six, was it? Six disposals, four clangers. There you go.
But,
no, honestly, the fact is he was there and they were all contested. Contested areas where he was, and he was presenting himself and he was putting his body in the way, so he was getting to contests, and usually he's just sitting by and watching it go on around him and not really making much effort to get there. So I think his attitude, his endeavour was a lot better than it usually has been.
I think the whole team lifted, to be honest. I think they were all up and about. The first half for most players was pretty ordinary. I think Waite was fairly consistent the whole way through the game. Dygan was fairly consistent from the word go, but almost Jamieson probably doesn't get the kudos he deserves for his job on Riewoldt the whole game. He followed him everywhere, and Riewoldt ran him all around the ground. So, everyone else seemed to lift in the second half, which is a little bit unfortunate. And hopefully, we get full games out of them this week against the Swans.
But Jamieson didn't clutch at his shoulder in the first 5 minutes of the game.
I thought he was gone at the end when Hendo took that mark. And
So
did I. I thought they knocked the
pole action.
Yeah, first thing I thought when when he took the mark was, yeah, he took the mark. Second thing I thought was, oh, crap, I hope Jammo gets up.
Get up, Jammo.
Yeah. I was like, we probably don't need you this week anymore, but I hope you're around next week.
Yeah.
No, I think they all did well in the second half. We just need a more rounded performance this week. But I think we're definitely in with a shot, so.
Yeah, definitely. The one thing that you can really tell being at a game, as far as the mental aspect goes, is I reckon you can always, when you come back, you can pick that moment when the other team dropped their head and submitted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one point, I can't remember whose goal it was, someone kicked the goal. It might have even been Dygan's or, it was before Judd's, where the Richmond players, instead of just turning around, jogging back to the centre and setting up again, all of them, it's like at the same time, even the supporters around us just put their heads down and thought, oh God, here we go again.
Yeah, when Robbo kicked the goal to hit the lead.
It might have even been before that. I don't think we were in front. It might have been the first goal of the third quarter or something like that. It was the real early goal. We weren't in front yet, and we kicked the goal and all the Richmond players dropped their head.
I think there was. I know there was one goal that they were showing on after the bounce, and they were showing like Tigers supporters crying and stuff like that over it, and they were still in front at that point. So maybe that's the one.
When I was walking back up from my seat, there was a Tiger supporter. It would have been about 17, and she was standing there, obviously, I reckon, waiting for someone to come back from the toilet or something so she could leave. And she had her fingernails painted yellow and black, like alternating colours, and she had all this makeup on. But she was crying so much, her makeup was running down her face. And then as we walked out to leave, there was a group of four Tigers supporters hugging each other, all having a cry together.
Good.
Well, it must be hard making your first final series.
You can't get at me for being mean.
No, I'm not mean to our own team or our own supporters, but Richmond people gave me so much crap leading up to this game. They deserve everything they get. I had people coming into my office playing the Richmond theme song on their phones in the days leading up to it, and then on Monday, where were they? Because they were nowhere to be freaking found.
But they had no right to that confidence. I have no idea where that confidence level came from.
It's because they've been talked up in the media all bloody year. I mean, the media killed them in the lead-up to round one. They killed them last week. I mean, you wouldn't have even thought that Carlton were playing last week.
That's true.
It's the media kill them. I don't feel sorry for them, but, they believe their own hype and you get into it. But, I mean, wind back the clock to 2009, ODN up at Brisbane, the Gabba, when Brisbane overran us. It was gut-wrenching. Like, I know exactly how it feels for the Richmond supporters, and whilst I was happy on Sunday, I mean, I didn't feel for them, but you look at them and think, yeah, I know what it's like, and that's it. But
them's the breaks. Welcome to September. Apparently you belong here. So you should know what it's like.
You gotta watch the experts tonight. They will all tip the Swans on us.
There's been a few turning around, though, and on Twitter and stuff, there a couple come out and started tipping us because of the lineup. So
no,
I want them
tip
all
the
to tip the Swans. We need to be underdogs.
I agree. Let's be underdogs because we believe our own hype too.
Robert Walls should not write any articles this week.
Yep, take his pen off
him. They should take his typewriter.
There was a lot of talk about Richmond's, young players sort of you know, fading a little bit, and there's you know, a lot being made of the respective ages of the two sides and experience levels. Just having a look at that, there's something like about 6 months difference on average between the teams.
Oh, that makes all the difference, though, Adrian.
It was like 25. You know, they're both averaging 25 years old, and there was something like a Richmond averaging about 104 games per player, and Carlton were averaging about 117. So it wasn't that huge a gap. But I don't know. People always seem to find reasons why Carlton win, and it's not on their own merits. But anyway,
all right, guys.
Just ask David King.
Oh, David King. Oh, don't get me started on King. All right, we're going to move on to the game this week, which will be played on Saturday night at ANZ Stadium. And will be the fourth time we will play at ANZ Stadium. We have lost all three times, including a match that none of us want to remember in 2010. And I think none of us will... Well, I think all of us will be happy if Dennis Armfield isn't running around the back pocket with a minute or two to spare. And 5 points behind. But, guys, how are we seeing the game this week? And perhaps Mrs. Eddie Betts first. Ladies first, always.
Well, I guess if you told me 6 weeks ago that we'd be playing Sydney in Sydney in a semi-final, I would have just laughed in your face and probably would have given us no chance. But after the last 2 weeks, I think that, you know, we're doing all right. Sydney, I'm in two minds. I'm really conflicted. I never, ever tip against Carlton, and I do think that we've got a really good chance. But I think Sydney also has a point to prove after the way they played against Hawthorn on Friday night, which is terrible. They've got an eight-day break, and we've only got 6 days. I think the only things that are working in our favour is we seem to be much fitter, and I don't know who any of their ins are, so I couldn't even tell you if they're good or not. So I think if we get the clearances like we did against the Tigers, and if we can play the whole game like we played the last half, then the game is ours. So I'm still going to tip us. I still say we'll win, but I think it'll only be like 5 points.
And Bluegill, how are you seeing it?
I think we need to give our forwards first use, because with their tools up forward, we don't want the ball getting bombed into there a lot. I think we'll win. I'm heading up and I can't wait. I'm really excited. We've just got to play our game, and I just don't want to give them a head start like we did in round 14. I mean, I know the weather was terrible, but and I know we've come from behind the last 2 weeks, but I just want to get, I don't know, some confidence at the start, kick a few goals and then run on from there. So I think our midfield's really important, obviously. I love the fact that we keep them guessing with where we put Waite and Hendo. I mean, last week when Waite went to the forward line, I thought, oh, here we go, mind games, where's he going to end up? But I'm glad he stayed up there. And I think if he can show his form like last week, I think it'll help. I think Dygan has to play up forward. Don't put him in the back line. I really want Cruz to come up, because I love a fit Cruiser, and I know there's been rumours that he had his toe operated on and whatnot, but he's been named. I'm expecting a late change, but I really hope he's fit enough to play, because he's missed a few finals games. But, look, I think we'll win. I think I'm with MEB. I think it'll be close. But I'm going to tip us by 2 goals.
2 goals, eh? All right. Before we get to the guys, Carlton have lost 11 of its last 12 games in Sydney dating back to 1994. However, head-to-head, it's 127 to 86 our way. 5 wins apiece in finals, if you're wondering. So Swans will be in their 28th semi-final, having won 12 and lost 15 of them. They've lost their past three, going back to 2005. Obviously, they've skipped weeks where they've been on top and gone straight through the preliminary final. For Carlton, it's our 64th semi-final, 29-33. Record with a draw in there. So we haven't won a semi-final since the game against the Lions in 2000. ODN.
Carlton travel pretty well. We've won 4 of our 5 interstate trips this year. That only loss being in the swimming carnival up in Sydney. And so we're not going to read much into that result. Sydney won't give us the latitude that Richmond gave us, there's no doubt about that. But they also, our games with them have been fairly close of late, so they're not likely to put big numbers up on us. So we're going to always stay close enough that if we can find that momentum that we've been finding running out games late, we'll be close enough if we're good enough. Defensively, Sydney have got Mumford, Pike, White and Tippett. They're one tall up on us in that regard. I'm thinking, well, Jamieson is likely to go to Tippett because of his closing speed and his spoiling ability, and Tippett's good on the lead. And surprisingly, Jamieson is ranked number one in the AFL in one-on-one contests as a defender. No doubt Riewoldt's helped to bump those stats up. So that leaves Henderson probably on White, but I'm wondering who's going to play on the resting ruck. So that's where McInnes or Walker, or even, regardless of how they switch that around, we're going to have defenders playing tall, having to give each other a bit of a chop out, and having that player that knows when to leave his man and come across and spoil. That's why if Dygan isn't working up forward, we know back in 2011 that Dygan and Laidler were great at leaving their man and coming across and spoiling. So Dygan, he's always got the street to his bow if we can't handle that extra tall up forward. We'll have playing on Wadey and Grundy on well, Cruiser or Casbolt. Whatever's forward out of that. If Cruiser does play, or even if Keith, it's Casbolt, I'd like to see them being used more, sort of floating between the forward arcs. So I like our ruckman when they're running back inside 50 rather than leading out from 50 with a defender on them. I'd rather them, but we've seen Cruiser before do fairly well as far as contested marks when he's having another ruckman chasing him around rather than a defender who knows how to play defensively. So I don't mind sort of having that second tall in our forward line coming out and then running back with the flight of the ball. Betts, Scarlett, Nyara hold the key. It's because Sydney don't have that sort of attribute in their side. They're down on their defenders. They've got a couple of injuries in that regard. They don't have somebody, if they're all playing forward, they don't have three defenders that can match up on them adequately. So they're going to be hoping to close it down. They're going to be hoping to choke up our forward line so that they don't have any space to move. So they're still going to have to try to manufacture snap goals just to create that doubt in Sydney's mind. We've got Gibbs, Judd, Murphy coming off great games. Head-to-head, we're probably looking at O'Keefe on Judd, Jack on Murphy. But I don't know if it's going to be full-on tagging or if it's just going to be playing off each other a fair bit. Our tagging job will probably be somebody like Curnow on Kennedy, but Robinson and Bell, as far as the big bodies, could also potentially do the job, but Curnow definitely has the tank to go with Kennedy. Jetta, I would think Armfield would match up on him, but I'm not sure that he's fit anyway, so we can really exploit that. And we've got more flexibility in our side with Henderson, Waite, Walker, and Dygan able to play at either end. So I'm very cautious, but I'm looking at that Sydney side now. Whether I'm naive and I haven't been paying attention, I know they play the bottom six a lot weaker than our bottom six. If we can keep that intensity up and our cuts in the side are just hitting every contest like we have been doing of late, I give us a great chance in this match. And frankly, I'm looking forward to the fairy tale continuing. And Carlton's going to win the single figures. And every step that Carlton takes is a dagger in the heart of the Bombers who put us there.
That's awesome.
Nice. Excellent. And happy dude, how are you seeing the game?
I think it'll be a really tight, contested game. just looking at some of the stats that I have in front of me, the Swans are ranked number one in the league for contested possessions per game, and we're ranked third in the league for contested possessions. We're also ranked 18th for uncontested possessions, and they're ranked 14th for uncontested possessions. This tells me as well that Sydney are the polar opposite to the Richmond that we played this week, because Richmond dominated us in kicking, marking, and uncontested play, whereas kicks, marks, and uncontested, Sydney are 12th, 18th, and 14th in the league. So they like to keep it in close, a lot of handballs, and play the real hard game on us, which I think would be a good test for us, and we can play that sort of game because we're also ranked highly in all those stats. They're also ranked first for clearances and hitouts per game, and we're ranked third for both clearances and hitouts per game. So the ruck battle will be a real tight one, and we'll go a long way to help deciding who's going to win this game. We're ranked fourth for marks inside 50 and first for contested marks. So I think if we can keep up with their tools, we might just be able to edge forward in that sort of respect. I think Hendo is number one in the league for contested marks, so that'll give us a bit of an advantage there if he stays back and tries to mind Tippett or one of their other tall forwards. Sydney are a very good side. It's going to be very hard to beat them up there, but with their look and saw like they did it against Hawthorn and the changes that they've made, I think we do have a good chance. Not as confident about this one as I was last week, so I might only tip us by 57 points this week.
Too much faith again.
I believe
too much faith. But I'm of a like mind. I think we'll win this, and I think we'll win it. It'll be closer than you think. I think 21 points will be the margin. And going back to the tried and true.
Interesting that on last night's podcast there was a suggestion that it might be raining in Sydney on Saturday night. Looking at the 7-day forecast, it's suggesting rain on Friday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, but just cloudy on Saturdays.
Awesome.
I'm not sure that's able, but we'll see. It's certainly going to make a difference with their height. Quite frankly, with their height, a little bit of a conditions will probably suit us better anyway, but they're not going to trouble us in the air if it's wet. But
So you mentioned their height, but they're ranked really low, like at last in the league for marks per game, less than Melbourne and GWS, which says that they're not really
surprising.
It says that they're not using their height to the advantage that we think they would against us. So then that for me takes height out of it a little bit because they obviously don't like to use it. They're ranked right up there in score assists, so they like to run the ball in. And they're ranked first for tackles as well, fourth for points per game, and first for rebound 50s. So I noticed it earlier on in the year when they weren't winning as many clearances. They like to not so much win the clearance out the centre, but rebound from 50 from the clearance when the player just throws the ball blindly on their boot. And then they run it down in a big pack together and sort of just keep it that way instead of, like Richmond, like to get outside and bomb it long, and all you have to do is trouble them, and it shakes them off a little bit. Sydney are a bit more focused than that. So I don't feel the height would really be an issue for us, considering that we're so much better at marking than they are this year, especially contested marking, if we can just keep up with them. It's their cool heads under pressure and their tackling pressure that they're going to heap onto our boys that we didn't have to deal with this week.
Yeah, good point about the run off the back line too. It's I think the battle of the beards is going to be really important as far as mopping up and drive. We get each team gets from Simpson and Malcheski. Throw Tui in there as well for us.
I was going to say it's been a few weeks since Zach scored a goal, so I'm hoping he can score a few on Saturday night.
Yes. Speaking of battle of the beards, isn't it?
Surely
200.
Yes. And if there's ever if there's ever a milestone game that we need to get up for, it's this one.
Yeah.
But isn't it Malcheski's 150th?
Yeah.
If there's ever a milestone game we need to get up for, it's Garlett's 100th or 150th, whatever he's playing on grand final day for us this year. That's the one we need to get up for.
Oh, my God.
It should also be mentioned that the last team to get, like, the last team from the bottom four of the eight to make it through to
Adelaide.
Top four was actually Collingwood in 2007, Nimrod. So
I was thinking to win a premiership from outside the top four. You're thinking too small.
Yeah, and that was
who stops it next week and going all the way, Wookie.
Oh God!
Honestly, I think Port might be a chance to make it through as well. So
I'd love it to be Port Carlton Grand Final. Who would have seen that coming?
Yeah, my little cousin said that on Sunday after the game. He said, "I reckon we're going to play Port in the Grand." And I said, "I'm just." Like, these little kids come out with these bloody statements. And
yeah.
I'll take
I said to him, I hope you're right, mate.
I'll take Port at the MCG.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome because Port worry Hawthorn a lot of the time. That's one of their bogey teams.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to worry them at this time of the year, though.
Oh, I don't know. They have to beat Geelong first.
Hawthorn are going to be very hard to beat for mine, I think.
No, I've got Freo pegged.
If Geelong win tomorrow night, they've got to play their bloody bogey side. If you're a Hawthorn supporter.
Well, see, if we
could
win...
be 95 all over again.
If we win tomorrow, we've got to beat Fremantle in Perth, and that might be an insurmountable problem for us.
We can do that.
Yeah. I don't think we've ever won a final.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever won a final interstate, ever.
No.
Even when we were good on top of, like, 80s,
even when
90s.
We were good.
Yeah. Now we're average. I'm talking about good top four, top of the ladder. We've never won a final interstate.
Oh, that's a bit scary.
No, I can't think of one either, actually.
I can't think of one.
I've looked it up every year because last few times we've finished our finals campaigns interstate, and every year we play an interstate final. I think this will be the one that we win interstate because we've never won one before.
I think it was 96 that we had to go to, or 97, we had to go to Perth. We finished the season in Perth. Then we had to go to Brisbane for week one.
Mm.
And then back to Perth for week two, and we were out in straight sets.
That's right.
That was a shocking finals campaign.
But then again, there is 1999 where we got beaten by Brisbane up at the Gabba, which I was at that game. Then West Coast had to play us in Melbourne for some strange reason, despite winning.
I think there was
MCG agreement. So
it wasn't the first time West Coast said.
Brisbane fans absolutely served it up to me that night. A couple of weeks later, Carlton were in the grand final, and it was the weirdest of seasons.
Oh yeah, I actually said before the Richmond game, it feels a bit like '99. You know, unfamiliar final stuff going on, like us finishing fifth and getting flogged in the first week and still making it through, you know, finishing ninth but still getting through.
I love how we had that Richmond guy come onto our forums and ask if it was just, like, comparable to the 99 grand, preliminary final in importance. No, it wasn't. Stop trying to make yourselves relevant. That's all that... I hate how Richmond was trying to sell his flat.
Oh, my God.
That was the best.
And you know what? He's not the only one. There's a few of them that did that.
I know. Yes. I heard them all after the game when I was walking through Treasury Gardens. They were all going, how am I going to get rid of my flights, blah, blah, blah. I love it. Suffer. It's losing money. I don't care.
I was actually going to break out my photoshopping skills. I don't know if any of you have watched South Park, but there's one where Cartman kills his kid's parents and makes him eat them, and he's like licking the tears off the kid's face. I was going to put a little Richmond jumper on the kid while he's crying, a Cartman jumper on Cartman, and be like, your tears taste so yummy.
So... That's how we see it, guys. We're not going to do what we look forward to this weekend because I think we all look forward to the same thing, and that would be a Blues win.
Oh God!
So,
like Odien said before, I hope this fairy tale continues because, you know, when we lost to the Bombers, it was like great season over. You know, have that horrible feeling, and now all of a sudden we're in a semi final, like. What the hell? It's awesome.
That's what I've been saying. You know, two weeks ago, Carlton weren't making the finals, and Essendon, Collingwood, and Richmond were. 2 weeks later, we're still there, and nobody else is. So it's the strangest set of circumstances I can think of.
It's a glorious time to be alive.
Yes, I'm loving it. A bit more confident about this game. Now that I've seen the teams. So hopefully we can actually pull out our first interstate finals win ever.
You know,
and what a time to do it.
You know who would be loving this, though? Justin Battler.
Oh, yeah.
And where is he? Honestly.
I was going to say, get him back on.
Oh, I tried.
Bring him back for the preliminary final one.
Yeah, that's it.
And then we'll have to get Aphrodite on for the grand final podcast.
Well, maybe we can have to make a big call like Mrs. Eddie Betts did. Something she doesn't expect to happen and get forced to come.
Yeah, that was stupid, wasn't it?
Yeah, you have to say at the time, Mrs. Eddie Betts, you thought that we might make the finals.
Yeah, because I'd never ever give up on us completely. Like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
So I thought we might make the finals, but I always think that I'm too positive. So I was like, oh, we probably won't. Like, I'm just being stupid. So I was like, oh, I'll be safe. And yeah. I can't go back on my word because that's a dog act. So I was like, well, now I'm stuck.
Well, now you've done it twice and I only expected you to do it once.
And now,
well, after that win, how could I not come back on and talk about it? I don't have enough Carlton people in my life that I can talk about this with.
Now really? You're one of us.
Yeah, I've only been one other us. Carlton supporter.
One
oh,
of
my
us.
God.
One
you
of
sound
us.
Like me. I've only really got my mum.
Yeah, it's just my dad, and he gets sick of it. He's like, for God's sake, shut up.
So right, feel free to send me a message, MEB.
I'll talk to you.
All right, guys. Well, this has gone long enough. Thank you very much for coming on again. And thank you very much, Mrs. Eddie Betts and Blue Gal.
Thanks,
guys. Go the Blues.
They're all one of us now. And happy dude, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, hopefully we fit into Chiefs half hour.
And oh no, we're beyond that now in the second half. And Captain Curse, thank you for coming on.
Don't say that.
He cursed us.
I did
curses again.
He lost,
again, so we
he
can
lost
turn
faith
it back
with
on
us
you.
Early
in
on.
In goes the needle. good night, everybody, and good night, Umpire Nichols.
Good night.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really creepy.
All right, guys. Good night to everyone. Good night to Mrs. ODN, and we'll see you all on the forums.